Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the text that was read earlier, so I won't repeat it here, but focusing on those words of koinonia, participation, fellowship with the Father and the Son. Well, in the Gloria Patri that accompanies every psalm in the liturgy, we say, Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, right? As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. And we append this to the Psalms to demonstrate that the Psalms are ours, that they're ours as Christians. They're authored by the same God who brought everything into being and still sustains it. This has been the consistent message of the Church. That which was from the beginning is now and ever shall be, world without end. So our text from 1 John is a reminder that we need to take the long view in life, especially when this old world starts getting us down and people are just too much to take, as one song put it. We definitely are living in an age that is tense, worried, woke, struggling, and all of it just weighing us down. I've just about had it with wearing masks, you know, worrying about who I might have infected or getting infected myself. You know, it's a difficult time that we live in, as the Church as well, as the Church experiences attacks from everywhere. But if we're honest, we recognize that every age has been this way, or at least some version of it, ever since sin entered into the world. That's the historian in me that wants to look back and recognize there is nothing new under the sun. But that doesn't make it any easier, you know. Sin is the gravity that is always looking to pull us down. It's looking to pull us away from the glory that is yet to be revealed in us. We struggle with it day in and day out. And one of the reasons sin is so dangerous is that it takes our eyes off of the author, the perfecter of our faith, the very creator who brought us into this world. It distracts us. It causes us to wonder, what is man that you are mindful of him and the Son of Man that you visit him? I mean, why would the Father of all creation or his Son, frankly, want to have fellowship with this lot, you know, with any of us, frankly? The sin in our life reminds us that we are not worthy of that fellowship, and that is a devastating realization. What are we to do? What is God to do, for that matter? You know, Athanasius, a 4th century bishop, I had to bring him in here, you know, he recognized in his writing on the Incarnation that God faced a dilemma, is what he calls it. It's a divine dilemma, and he wonders, you know, when God sees sin and the mess that we've caused his world and his creation, he wonders, what's God's going to do? What is God going to do about it? And so he paints a picture. He refers to the one who was from the beginning as a kind of artist, who brought creation into being so that it wasn't just good or agathos, but it was beautiful, kalos. Athanasius speaks about the divine dilemma that confronted God when his creation went awry. Specifically, when the crown of his creation, human beings, rebelled against him. And with the fall into sin, humanity, he says, lost its knowledge of God and also became subject to corruption and death. The image of God was lost, so what was God to do? And he talks about this by using the image of an icon, a figure painted on wood that has been left outside and gotten all dirty. Here's what he says. He says, "For as when a figure painted on wood has been soiled by dirt from outside, it is necessary for him whose figure it is to come again so that the image can be renewed on the same material. Because of his portrait, even the material on which it is painted is not cast aside, but the portrait is re-inscribed on it. In the same way, he says, the all-holy Son of the Father, being the image of the Father, came to our place to renew the human being made according to himself and to find him as one lost through the forgiveness of sins, as he himself says in the Gospels, I came to seek and to save that which was lost." Athanasius not only talks about the image that has been lost, devastated, covered over, and obscured by sin, he also talks about the artist, the one in whose image the work was created. He says this artist comes back and fixes what was ruined in order to bring out and bring back the original beauty that was there. And I just love that image. It's similar to another image that we see in this very chapel. You know, you look at these stained glass windows that are stunning, that are beautiful. Each window is made up of these broken pieces that on their own look random and without any order or purpose. But when all these broken pieces are put together, a beautiful picture emerges and the artist's work becomes clear. But until that time, we see through a glass dimly, shall we say. And your life and mine is filled with a thousand broken pieces, things that happened years ago and things that happened yesterday. People you've lost, things you've done or said or didn't do, that's all part of your life. And it's part of mine too. And God knows every piece of it. But instead of throwing his artwork away, he comes to repair it. He takes the ugly, broken pieces of our lives and makes them into something new, something wonderful, something that is beyond what we could ever even imagine. And the most amazing thing of all is that he's not even through with you yet. You know, he's still got a lot more work to do. There's a whole other age yet to come that John speaks about that still awaits us. But right now we see through a glass dimly, Paul says, but then we shall see face to face. And I love to think about that future glory sometimes, especially, you know, when life gets kind of difficult, shall we say. And I'm reminded of that recent SpaceX flight when Captain Kirk, right, a.k.a. William Shatner from Star Trek fame, you know, he went up in space. And his reaction on reaching the edge of our atmosphere for real was sheer wonder, sheer amazement. He just didn't have words for it even. He's kind of like a kid in a candy store. He was privileged to get a different perspective on things as he escaped the hold of gravity itself and looked back on the planet and then looked forward out into space. We need experiences like that every now and then. We need reminders that this is not all there is, that there is much more that awaits us just beyond the horizon, the undiscovered country, if you will. The disciples got a glimpse of that while Jesus was on this earth. You know, they saw him, they heard him, they touched him. Some of them were even allowed to experience his glory for a bit when they were up on that Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John got to feel what it was like to have fellowship, to have koinonia, to even participate in that divine nature of Jesus, if only even for a moment. But what a moment. Peter would have loved to just stay there and bask in the divine presence of Jesus and his Father. And these disciples got to experience, while still here on earth, something we're going to all get to experience one day. And this is one of the reasons we celebrate All Saints Day, and this is what I'd like to leave you with. It's a reminder of those who have gone before us and who are already participating in and experiencing that beatific vision, that fellowship, that participation with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's a reminder that there is more, much more that awaits us. The glorious company of the apostles, prophets, martyrs, friends, moms and dads, kids, the whole company of heaven that is outlined in that transept window over there, you know, that reminds us of that day which is yet to come, that is really just over the horizon if we can just hang on. Because we have a God who came to this earth to save us, to live, die, and rise again, so that we might rise with him to that beautiful glory that awaits us. And so as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, may it be so for us, world without end. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, shall keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.